Yeah. Hey, hello. Hi. Hello. How are ya? How are ya? It's me, Richard Dixon. Talk.5, talk.5.com. The real heroes in this world are the ones who keep me bug-free. That's Mr. Bugs. I love them. I appreciate them. They do such a good job. I have them come once a month. You might want them every 3 months, because that's really supposed to be often enough. But I hate bugs so much, I want them here every month. I really do. I also will use them for mosquito reduction. I'll use them for termite bond. They've gotten rid of rodent problems for me in the past. They do it all at Mr. Bugs. They can even greenify your lawn. They can do turf management, get rid of the weeds and the insects that are keeping your lawn from being all that it could be. You could have a better lawn by the end of the season if you just make the call. 900-3433, 900-3433. Online at MrBugs.com, MRBUGGS.com, or statewide 844 MRBUGGS. Mr. Bugs, they know what bugs you. So the other big story coming out today, and it happened just before the George Floyd verdict came down, was the Ohio police officer who fatally shot a teenage girl who was attempting to stab another teenage girl. Her family has introduced her as Makia Bryant. I think that's how her name is pronounced, and I apologize if I'm getting it wrong. It is certainly not my goal to misstate her name. But the claim is that she is the one who called police because there was some sort of dispute taking place between a group of people. And police showed up, and what they saw was 16-year-old Makia Bryant. I'm getting different numbers here. Different news sources are giving me 15 or 16. Chances are good it was originally 15 and corrected to 16 later. But they saw a 16-year-old Makia Bryant attempting to stab somebody, lunging at a woman, another teen, with a knife, and she was shot on the spot by police, because you can use deadly force to protect yourself or a third person, that is to say somebody else who is unarmed, who cannot defend themselves. If you're a police officer and you're on the scene, would they prefer, I guess, that Makia Bryant had gotten to stab the person? I don't really know. I the misinformation, here's the thing. I got all this information this morning, and I got it fairly quickly. And I just told you the story. There was some sort of a violent conflagration, for want of a better term, that was taking place at a house in Columbus, Ohio. Somebody called 911. Police showed up, and when they got there, they found an armed Makia Bryant charging at another woman with a knife, attempting to stab her. The term they use is lunging, and if you can see the video, and they released the body cam footage as quickly as possible today in an effort to try to dispel all of the misinformation that was coming out, and they ended up shooting her to keep her from stabbing this other person. I mean, anyone can tell you, one stab wound in the right place, you dead. You dead. Could be your femoral artery. It could be into your heart. It could be, obviously across your jugular. There's any number of ways that you can kill somebody with one good stab wound. So they shot her to keep her from stabbing this person that she was lunging for. The misinformation began almost immediately. The number of news sources that unconscionably called her unarmed, which was absolutely not true, and they didn't even bother to check to see whether or not she was armed. Then there were those who said, well, it doesn't matter whether she was armed or not. That's of no consequence. Police shot her. She was only 16. They should be ashamed of themselves. Oh, I suppose you want to go with the Joe Biden shoot her in the leg theory. That's not how police are trained. There's a reason for that. Shooting center mass means that you hit what you aim at. Okay, have a better shot of actually taking somebody down by shooting center mass. How about this? Here's another way Makia Bryant could have stayed alive. Not be lunging at another person with a knife when police showed up. Maybe drop the knife. Maybe put your hands up and make it clear that you're not a danger to anybody. I'm just throwing this out there. All right? But the misinformation by the AP, by the New York Times, by the Washington Post, by any number of people on Twitter who tried to claim anything and everything they could. Makia Bryant was a foster child under the care of Franklin County Child Services. Okay. And she was involved in a fairly severe skirmish And there are reports that she's the one who dialed 911. I don't know whether that's true or not. I do not have information on that. Now, see, funny how that is. This is how this works. When I don't know, I tell you I don't know. Rather than just saying, here's what people are saying, and so I'm just going to accept it as true. I don't know that. So I don't know if she was the one that called the police. What I do know is when police showed up, she was lunging at another human being with a knife, attempting to stab that person. That's a good way to get shot by police. That's a great way to get shot by police, in fact. And that is exactly what happened. Hazel Bryant identified herself as the victim's aunt, said that her teenage niece picked up a knife to defend herself during a fight with other people in the neighborhood. You know what's funny? She didn't seem to be in a defensive posture. If you're watching the body cam footage, you can very clearly see that the woman that she is chasing after and attempting to stab is not the aggressor in any way, shape, or form. And so one can only believe that if you are in the news media and you are spreading disinformation, you are doing so because you are interested much more in getting ratings and getting people viewing and getting people outraged and outrage people view for longer. You're much more interested in that than you are in actually giving the news. I'm going to make a comparison here that's going to make some people angry, and of course, that's what I do. But in this media, and I'll put it in another city because it did happen in another city. It happens here too. But in this media, there are people out there who, when there is a stiff wind, will go on the air, either on television or on radio, and say, oh my God, this could be really bad. Everybody needs to get in their basement right now, and you need to keep listening to this radio station or watching this TV station, because this could be the end of you. If you're not paying attention and you're not focused, this could be the worst thing that ever happens weather-wise in this area, and you'd better stay tuned. And then there are people like us, and like the previous station I worked at when I was in this city, where we would say, hey, you know what? It's not bad. You know, you're going to get some rain, you're going to get some thunder, but so far we're not looking at any tornadoes. If that changes, we'll let you know. But in the meantime, back to the music, okay? Now, the station that I'm referring to that was all nonstop panic about everything was also the station that talked about nothing but blood and gore and traffic accidents and anything in the city that, you know, they followed the classic, if it bleeds, it leads. We came on the air as a brand new radio station competing with this station, and we had a fairly difficult job. It was to only do news that we felt actually touched upon our listeners' lives. News that would actually have an effect on our listeners' lives. That's what we were concerned with, and that is what we worked for, okay? And also, we tried to be the honest source when it came to weather, and one of the things that we said consistently was, you don't have to worry until we tell you to worry, because these other guys are, you know, silly nannies, and they're going to go crazy every single time the wind blows. It took 4 years. 4 years, but we finally beat that station in the ratings because people came to trust us and they came to believe us and they came to think, okay, well, if that radio station is telling us this, then we can know it's true. And I got more than one call because I was doing a lot of news at the time. I got more than one call from people saying, you know, I really appreciate your newscast. I appreciate the fact that, you know, you actually talk about stuff that matters to me and not about somebody who got shot in another part of town that I don't know about and I don't, you know, I wasn't a part of it and there's no. There are a couple of different ways to do news. One of them is to actually care about your listeners and your viewers and to try to do things that matter to them and tell them the truth. For the love of God, this Michaela Bryant situation, Michaela Bryant, is a perfect example. Tell the truth about what's going on out there. The other is to take everything to 11 all the time. And sooner or later, people get tired of that. And if you don't believe me, just look at how CNN's ratings have cratered since Donald Trump left office. Here is Craig in Gardendale on the Birmingham Broker phone line to get us started in this hour. Craig, you're on Talk 99.5. What is on your mind, my friend?
First of all, who couldn't believe that radio voice of yours?
I know. It's so dulcet in its tones, isn't it?
So I was talking about, you know, the sad thing is the little girl that was killed at McDonald's, the little kids that have been killed throughout this year and the last couple of years. You're not going to see an Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Maxine Waters, them show up. He's not going to get on his private jet. He's not going to fly out there and do the funeral or anything because there's no money to be made. And I know some of your listeners lean left because they listen to you to find out if you do something wrong where they can report you. And I know that probably doesn't bother them, but I just want them to hear it. You know, that little girl's life mattered too, but it doesn't matter to you. And it just frustrates me to no end they do that. Plus, any cop now that gets arrested, they're going to be, they're done. So, I, you know, those in those blue states, I wouldn't blame them all if they just walked out tonight because the guy in Ohio, he's doomed. The shot
I don't think he is.
This morning, North Carolina.
I don't think he is. Yeah, the North Carolina situation is interesting. By the way, can I point out how Austin, the shooting that took place in Austin, where you had two dead and one injured as a result of a shooter on the scene yesterday, and this guy was black, and they arrested him last night, and you haven't heard a damn word about that,
have
you?
That was Long Island. Long Island, excuse me.
That was Long Island? Why did I think that was Austin? Anyway, yeah, a guy gets arrested. Nobody says a word about it. The media has forgotten that it happened because he was an African-American man shooting people up. So we can't talk about that. We can only talk about when white cops shoot black kids. That's the only way we can make this work.
Whether until they people realize they're trying to get us to hate one another, it's only going to get worse. But, you know, it's sad that people can't wake up and say, wait a minute. All right, I understand that, but what about this? But, you know, thinking for yourself is pretty important. And I just
people would do that. They would very much prefer you not think for yourself. You just buy into whatever they tell you. Just go hook, line, and sinker, baby. Hook, line, and sinker. That's what they're begging you for. That's what CNN wants. It's what MSNBC wants. It's what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want. Thank you for the call, Craig. I appreciate it. 80,000 African-Americans killed last year. 80,000. Was it 80,000? Yeah, and nobody's talking about those. Most black-on-black violence. The vast majority of them, 94% killed by, or as far as 94% of those solved, killed by other African-Americans. You know, these are some scary numbers here. But no, in the case of 2020, we had 15 situations where African-Americans, unarmed, were killed by police officers. Unarmed doesn't necessarily mean that they were completely harmless. In some cases, police officers were being attacked by bricks, by bare hands. You had African-Americans trying to take the officer's gun or taser out of their holster. But we put it all in the same category as 15 unarmed African-Americans killed by police officers last year. That's the number we're focusing on, not the 80,000 African-Americans who died in the streets last year. If Black Lives really mattered, you'd like to believe that that organization would be a little more focused on that. It's 1:14. Got to take a break. Back in a flash. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5. Don't go away. If you'd like to hear a more orchestrated version of that, Tom Jones and the Art of Noise did a version of it that I also like an awful lot. But then again, it's a Prince song. Why wouldn't I? 1:19, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Every once in a while, the Babylon Bee actually makes me laugh out loud, and this one, this headline got me, David. Meow Mix sued for false advertising after study shows cats were just making standard cat noises and not asking for a particular brand of food.
That's a good one. I like it.
Wait a minute. So he's just been making the cat noise all this time? I've been feeding him every time he does that. Oh, man, I got a 400-pound cat over here. Speaking of 400 pounds, I'm never going back. Can I be honest? I'm never going back again. I really am not. I can't be the fat tub of goo I once was. Even looking back at stuff from like 2019, which is only 2 years ago, I'm always a little bit shocked to find out how large I was. I weighed 240 pounds. There was a point, late 2018, I was more like 260? Yeah. And now I'm under 200, which is where I want to be, and I'd like to be under 190 when I can. But let me tell you, I can't see myself going back to that. I'm so much happier. I'm svelte. I feel good. Nobody's going to look at me and go, look how skinny he is. But they're also not going, what a fat tub of goo. And I like it that way, and I owe it all to Way to Wellness. I love the fact that they taught me how to eat. They taught me how to, you know, manage to get the calories in, but make sure it's the right kind of calories so that I am not putting on fat and instead I'm just fueling my body. Everybody is different, which is why their website is aplanforme.com. I talked to Leslie, I talked to others. I have a very painfully slow metabolism, very slow. And so the number of calories that I should take in a regular day is less than the average man, no question, if I don't want to become a great, huge, fat tub of goo. There are other factors involved, but look, just make the call, 994-2393. The initial consultation will cost you nothing, and then you're going to find out whether or not it sounds like something you want to do. It's physician-supervised weight loss that really works. That, my friends, is way to wellness. Big Hub is on a cell phone, wants to talk about the Chauvin trial. What's on your mind, Big Hub?
Richie Rich. Hey, two things, man. The first is we might as well put our head between our legs and kiss our butts goodbye when we got the President of the United States and the Vice President going on national TV and putting the show on that they put on yesterday. And the other thing is, I was going to argue with you, but I can't argue with you. I think the guy's guilty of involuntary manslaughter, but the two murder charges, I think that was pressure from all the people that put the left that put the pressure on them.
All right. You're welcome to your opinion. I'm not going to argue with you. Everyone gets to have their own, right? I think the odds of my changing your mind on that are about the same as anyone changing their mind over a Facebook argument.
So you think he's guilty of murder three?
Yeah, look, here's what I know. I think the jury was there. They heard the entire presentation made by the prosecution. They heard the entire presentation made by the defense. If I'm going to buy into what the Zimmerman jury did, if I'm going to buy into what the grand jury did with the Michael Brown case, I'm going to buy into what happened with the Freddie Gray cops in Baltimore. Why wouldn't I believe that these guys made the decision that they made based upon the evidence that they saw?
Okay, Rich. I'm not going to argue with you.
See? There you go. That's what keeps friendships intact, my friend.
Absolutely,
thank you, Big
man.
Hub. I appreciate it. There's room for all opinions. There really is. Bob is in Deutschland über alles. I got 1 minute, Bob. Give me the worst movie ever made. What is it, man?
Yes, sir. Two of them, right quick. Liberace, who was based mostly on this homosexual acts and Whiplash. It was based on just full of vulgarity in speaking. I watched about 5 minutes of the movies and threw them away.
Oh, wow. Okay. Was that the Liberace story that had Michael Douglas in the lead role?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Interesting stuff there.
It was just disgusting. Absolutely disgusting, buddy.
I still haven't seen either of those films, but now you've made me want to seek them out so I can throw them away too, Bob. I want to be righteously indignant just like you. It's my story that I'm sticking to.
I have a lot of faults.
Thank God for
forgiveness, I hope.
Indeed. Thank you for the call, my friend. Have a good one. There's Bob in Deutschland. Über alles. We'll come back. More of your calls are welcome. We'll try to lighten the mood a little bit. Yeah, we've been talking about police brutality. We've been talking about police shootings. There's a lot of other things going on in the world today, including food news. Yeah, that's right. I said food news, but right now, first news. I think you can kind of judge an artist by the people who cover their work. And Prince had a wide variety there. Obviously, Sinead O'Connor, nothing compares to you. He worked with the Bengals, who did Manic Monday. If you look at the writer on that, it's listed as Christopher, but it's actually Prince. You know who covered this song? Warren Zevon. Warren Zevon did a killer version of this song. And, you know, Foo Fighters did Darling Nikki.
That is such a great version, too.
It's a great version. One of the things I really love about it is that it remains really faithful to the original, except with the instrumentation that Foo Fighters had, you know? I watched a video the other night that blew my mind. It was Ann and Nancy Wilson with Foo Fighters doing Kick It Out on the David Letterman show. The Late Show with David Letterman. And I thought, how in the hell did they ever manage to get this group together? But it was absolutely awesome. I mean, I can't say enough good things about the Foo Fighters. They respect their elders. They respect those that came before them. And yet they're always kind of reaching to try to do something different, something new. 132, Talk995, Talk995.com. I am your humble host, Richard Dixon, and I appreciate your taking the time to tune in. I would also appreciate it if you would just do one thing for me, one little thing, just one little tiny thing. It's a tiny little thing. Call 414-1476 and tell Stead, Denson, and Fuller, here's what I have now insurance-wise. What can you do for me price-wise? And then they'll get back to you, usually within 24 hours, and they'll say, here's what we got. Here's what we shopped around. Here's what we found. Because they're an independent local insurance agent that can shop around. They got the power to shop around. And they may even, like in my case, made some suggestions about, well, why don't you have this? It's not that expensive, and it'll really make a difference in your life. And lo and behold, they've been right about that every step of the way. They also said, why do you have this? Why did they sell you this? You don't need this. This is something that should go away because you're paying for it and you don't need it. I love that about them. Everything you need, nothing you don't. Stead, Denson, and Fuller, the service, second to none. Second to absolutely no one. 414-1476, online at steadandfuller.com. Make the call. They're my insurance agents. You will love them. Okay. We still got Kiefer in Talladega? Is he still around? Let's talk to Kiefer. Kiefer, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind, man?
Worst movie I've ever seen.
Okay.
I think it went off the scale on Rotten Tomatoes. One word, Ishtar.
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman and Warren Beatty, and they thought they would do this funny thing where they would cast them against type and make Warren Beatty the intellectual and Dustin Hoffman the ladies' man, and it was way over budget, and the script isn't funny. You can tell where they're thinking that it's funny, but it's like, yeah, it's not funny. It's not flying. It's not going anywhere at all. Very sad. Thank you, Kiefer. Good call. Many people would agree with you on that. I watched a Beverly Hills Cop the other night for the first time in a long time. And you know what? That movie still stands up. Movie still stands up. Still funny. Still funny in all the right places. There's a lot of great character interaction between John Ashton and Judge Reinhold that's very funny. Ronnie Cox as the lieutenant. Bogomil, just there's so many great things in this film that I love. And, of course, Bronson Pinchot making his real big screen debut, which sort of led to him getting the job as Balky in Perfect Strangers, which I know is a favorite of David's. Don't be ridiculous. He actually, in the movie, said, don't be stupid. Not that all, don't be stupid. But they liked that so much, they said, we can do something with this character. We can turn this guy into a... we can turn this guy into a TV sitcom character, and they did, and it was immensely successful. I remember reading an interview with Bronson Pinchot where he said, you know, I used to hang around with all these unemployed actors, and, you know, we'd sit and bemoan the state of the industry that none of us could get jobs, and the same people were getting the same jobs over and over again, and it was so unfair that, you know, it was an old boys' club, and we just couldn't break in, and, you know, I just brutal being that low on the totem pole. He said, and then I got this job. I got the gig on Beverly Hills Cop, and then that turned into the thing on Perfect Strangers. And suddenly, none of those people wanted to talk to me anymore. None of the unemployed actors I had hung out with, they weren't happy for me. He said, oh, well, look at him. He sold out. He went and sold out. And it's like, excuse me, weren't we all trying to do this? Wasn't this everyone's plan? I thought we were all kind of trying to get to the next level. But apparently I was alone in that, and you guys just want to continue to wait tables and tell people you're an unemployed actor. Okay. 136, Talk 99.5. Hey, before I get into any sort of food talk whatsoever, and that will be clearly a very limited amount of time, we talk about Black Lives Matter and them not really having a destination in mind. This is part of the problem, is that how can you get someplace where you can say, we've achieved this, if you don't have a destination in mind? I feel like we have largely, if not completely, achieved a Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of people being judged by the content of their character instead of the color of their skin. In fact, I think we got there sometime in the late 90s, and certainly by the year 2008 when we elected our first African-American president. I believe that we, you know, have made such strong inroads in that area that whatever sort of work remains to be done is minuscule. And unfortunately, you've got people out there attempting very desperately to undo that, saying that we need to look at the color of people's skin, and that should be the number one thing we look at. Good Lord, we have a president in the White House now, so-called, and he selected his running mate not based on her popularity, not based on her views, not based on her ideas, picked her because she's female and black. She's not even African-American. She's just black. She's part Indian. She's part Jamaican. Okay? That's the whole reason he picked her, because of the color of her skin. The content of her character couldn't have had less to do with it. So Black Lives Matter is out there screaming and crying about a minuscule amount of death in the black population. Now, is it a good thing that we have police officers out there shooting unarmed black people when they don't deserve it? No, absolutely not. Absolutely. What do you mean when they're not? I mean, when they're not trying to run a police officer over the car, beat him with a brick, or get his gun or anything, punching him. No, it's not a good thing that that's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Even once is too much. We can all agree on that, right? I'd like to believe we can all agree on that. Even once is too much. But if you want to know what the problem is in the black community right now, and I'm using that as a blanket statement, which is unfair. I hate blanket statements. I hate painting everyone the same brush. I just don't believe in it. But if you want to, when you look at the Black Lives Matter crowd, and I'm, you know, obviously that doesn't involve every African American, not by a long shot. But when you look at the Black Lives Matter crowd, sometimes there's white people in there. You're dealing with the exact same people that are responsible for this. Here's the headline. 9 kids shot at 12-year-old's birthday party, and not one of the 60 attendees will make a statement to the police. Mm-hmm. This happened in Louisiana. It happened on Saturday night, and not one of the reported 60 attendees, the vast majority of which were adults, will make a statement to the police. Gunfire erupted after a feud broke out at the home party in LaPlace, Louisiana. This according to a press release from the St. John the Baptist Parish Sheriff's Office. Again, at least 9 kids under the age of 18 were struck, 7 of whom were treated and released. 2 of the victims remained hospitalized. As reported by NBC News on Monday, the victims' ages ranged from 12 to 17. The young victims collectively sustained injuries to the arm, ribs, foot, leg, stomach, head, and more. And Sheriff Mike Tregre, Louisiana names, forgive me, I'm terrible with them, I know. Tregre, I'm going to say. We have not one witness, not one person that saw anything yet, so we're trying to solve it on our own right now. I'm going to be polite. It's more than frustrating. 9 kids shot, 2 remain hospitalized, not one person in attendance is willing to cooperate with law enforcement officers. You want to talk about the problem with violence in the black community? That's part of the problem. With violence in the black community. Snitches get stitches. You know who the victims were? Black people. All right? So you may feel like, well, I have to cover for my fellow black person. What about the black victims? Look, 9 times out of 10, when there's a crime in the black community, it was probably a black person who committed it. 9 times out of 10. That's not me talking. That's statistics talking. Statistics that have been compiled for 50 years. That will tell you that 9 times out of 10, if a crime is committed, I'm talking about assault, I'm talking sexual assault, I'm talking about attempted murder, I'm talking about murder, I'm talking about property crimes. If there was a black person who was the victim of a crime, 9 times out of 10, the perpetrator was also a black person, all right? And when you play the game, well, we can't tell on our fellow African-American, that would be wrong. Great. Then you're leaving the black victim out to hang. You're just leaving them to dry. And by the way, not just that black victim, but the next black victim and the next black victim and the next black victim who gets preyed upon by this POS who hurt this black victim, and you won't tell on him because snitches get stitches. What a stupid concept. Sorry. Remember when I said I was going to lighten things up? I promise I'll do it next. I promise. Back in a moment. Stick around. Another thing I love about Prince. I love a lot of things about Prince. He's a lot like one of my other favorite artists, Bob Dylan, in that all of his albums have a particular sound, and I mean a sound that's particular to that album. If you listen to Purple Rain, probably his most popular piece of work, and then you listen to this album, you can tell it's the same guy, but the production is different, the instrumentation is different, the sound of the album is different, even the songs are a little different. Everything on this album is a little different than everything on Purple Rain, and it showed a lot of growth, for sure, but it also just, it showed kind of a different side of the artist. Really good stuff. Oh, Man, we lost him far too long. Young, rather. 1:48 our time. I am Richard Dixon. This is Talk 99.5 and Talk99.5.com. If you are in need of someone to come fix your electricity, can I make a suggestion? Don't do it yourself. That's a bad idea. I know it seems like, oh, I can make this happen. I had a friend of mine tell me a story about his father-in-law who said, as long as the switch is off, you can work on this light. And he got shocked 3 or 4 times before he finally went to the circuit breaker and tried to figure out which one actually operated that light. It's like, yeah, you don't play that game. That's not a good idea. It's never a good idea. Look, there are professionals who do this. Love Lady Electrical Contractors. They're going to do it for you right. They're going to do it for the price that they quote you. You don't know what you're doing. They do, all right? So get the guys who know. Love Lady Electrical Contractor, 603-3692. $30 off your initial call when you tell them you heard about it here. That, my friends, is Love Lady Electrical Contractors. Okie dokie. Also on social media, facebook.com/Love Lady Electrical. I'm not doing very good about lightening the mood, am I? I'm doing a terrible job of it. So now we're going to talk to James in Hartselle, because he wants to talk about Mad Maxine, another person who will, by the way, never pay for the statement she made, unless, of course, this whole thing is reversed on appeal, which it could happen because of things said by Jacob Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis, because of things said by Joe Biden, because of things said by Maxine Waters. They could be seen as tainting the jury and creating that situation, which could lead to a reversal on appeal. It's, why can't people just keep their big fat mouth shut? Anyway, James, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I called to talk to you about your girlfriend there, Maxine Waters. They brought her up the other day and wanting to charge her for a stripper of her seat, and all the Democrats voted it down. So as in this other case that's going on, they're going to bring these 4 of the officers in. Mm-hmm. For aiding and abetting this other officer. So can't we hold the Democrats just the same as they're trying to hold these officers? Can't we hold them for aiding and abetting what she's doing?
I don't think we can. Well, one of the things is that they've already tried to get her censured in the House, and that was tabled by Democrats, in other words, killed completely. So that's not going anywhere. And without that, that would be the first and mildest step. I don't think you're going to get any sort of charges filed against her. I don't think that's going to happen. But like I said, the whole thing could be turned over on appeal as a result of her comments. And the judge in the Chauvin case said as much. And why you call her my girlfriend, I have no idea. That's reprehensible, James. Thank you. Thank you for the call. Yee. Angry Carrie, AK, on the line. Wait, before you get to what you want to say, I got to find out what you think is the worst movie ever made, because your opinion matters to me.
Okay. I thought Breathless was with Richard Gere was the worst movie I ever seen until mm-hmm. I seen Dune.
Dune.
Kyle
MacLachlan, Sting.
Look,
yeah.
Like, do you remember that guy in Clockwork Orange? They was forcing him to watch stuff, and he was going crazy.
Yeah, Malcolm McDonald.
If you want somebody to act like that, make them look at Dune.
Breathless was a remake of a Francois Truffaut film that was actually really good. If you watch the French version, you might not hate it as much. They Americanized it, and it just lost a lot in translation. Anyway, all right, tell me why black people don't snitch. I need some answers here.
Okay, I'm a black person that grew up in the hood, okay? The reason why black people don't snitch is that you can see a black person do a horrendous crime, shoot somebody in the chest. You go down there and you fill out all the paperwork and you snitch on them. For some odd reason, that person got right back out of jail. And now that person is looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking for you.
So it's a matter of personal safety is what you're saying.
Yes, it is. Because for some reason, they keep letting them back out.
Well, and that is a problem. That is a problem. I mean, this is one of the main situations in the city of Birmingham, is that you don't have the kind of, the police can arrest them over and over and over again. If when they get to court, the DA is not going to trump up charges or even charge them with what they should charge them with, and instead is going to cut a deal that puts them back on the street, well, guess what? You're going to have more shooting. One's learning their lesson here.
Like a girl I was going with, she seen this girl shoot her husband in the chest. And we was down on 6th Avenue, down in the detective's office. And I told him, I said, Shelly, I said, if you tell on this girl, that guy gonna get right back with that girl, and then they gonna blame you. And just as sure as boo boo, and that guy walked up out of UAB, soon as that guy worked up out of UAB, he went right back to that girl and shot him in the chest. And I told him, I said, "Hey, I said, you see, now they would have been coming up here banging on the door looking for you."
It's so typical. I mean, and that's just men and women. It's not even black people. That's men and women in general. How many times have you had a friend, like, break up with this girl, and you're like, good, I never liked her. She was wrong for you, whatever. 2 weeks later, they're back together, and they're now both looking side-eye at you, right? And you're like,
yeah.
What? He said he never liked you. Oh, I can't believe that. That's so bad.
It's screwed up, man. But seriously, though, but that's the reason why black people don't snitch on black people, you know. In black neighborhoods, for some reason, man, they let them fight. People be like, after all that stuff, he had shot up that building. And
somehow, he's out again. Know. Well, that's racism, by God. That's racism, too. Hey, AK, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Okay.
I got to go. I got to watch Dune during this break, so I'm going to rush off and catch that film. Take it easy. I'm not really going to watch Dune again. I'm not. They're working on, apparently, an Amazon. I think Amazon Prime is working on a
HBO Max.
HBO Max. Well, of course, then I'm not going to see it. They're working on properly making Frank Herbert's Dune. We'll see if that happens or not. Right now, it's time for First News. Richard Dixon, Talk Net at 9.5. Stick around.